Welcome to the Tennis Pulse. The heartbeat of tennis is back, serving up fresh voices, bold insights, and a lot of fun. Today on the Tennis Pulse, we get personal, deeply personal. We unpack why we started the show, our childhood tennis memories, and the moments that made us laugh and cry. A lot of crying. It's raw, nostalgic, and straight from the heart. With your hosts and tennis fans, Lindy Way Suttle, Mulle Westenhagen, Federica Fanari, Will Bonmossanon, Zani Suttle, and our Tennis Pulse expert, Charlie Stieb. Stay tuned, because the Tennis Pulse starts now.
I have a question for all of us. Who here has broken a tennis racket?
Oh,
what?
Who has broken a tennis racket
out of frustration?
Never. Oh, thank God for Dad, because I broke so many tennis rackets. And we were not rich.
Yeah.
I feel so bad.
I mean, as a junior, I broke one because I broke one. And my father said, one more time and you stop.
Yeah.
So I did not. But when I turned pro, I broke a lot. Because I got, you know, I got my rackets. It was my, I can decide myself, but I broke many rackets.
I scratched many, but I never went full on to break it. But my favorite training trick was old rackets and to train the serve and just to throw this racket. And it was my favorite thing.
So you serve and then the racket leaves your hand.
Yeah, and then you just let go of the racket and then you have all this series of old racket and it felt like... Ah, so good.
Yeah, I was never definitely a talent in tennis. I was 100% way too emotional. Sorry, Dad, that I broke so many rackets. I feel like, I broke way too many rackets. And he actually should have, like, just taken me off the court. I remember I had such a bad attitude one time when we were playing that my dad was like, get off the court. Yeah. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like about to serve. He was like, no, get off the court right now. And the opponent was like, what? Like... Match was over. I got scolded on the way home. It was a really bad thing. I had a really bad attitude. It's funny because I was so bad at playing singles because I had zero mental health. I would just, like a player, I remember I was so bad that a player saw, like in the first game, and then she was like, okay, I'm obviously better, and then I would freak out. She drop-shotted me the entire match.
Lindy never ran.
She would drop shot me and I would have to run up to the net and then she would lob me. And it was, that's the entire match. I felt so humiliated. And that's when I was like, no more singles. I'm never playing singles again. But I was a really good doubles player.
Yeah, you were
like,
amazing.
For me, doubles, I was a serve and volleyer. And when I had a partner, no matter who the partner was.
Why are you pointing at me?
We play doubles.
No.
You play doubles with me.
No way.
Federica, we played doubles together.
We did. It was so much fun.
That was also traumatic.
Yeah, no.
So really, after I really swore that I would never play tennis again. And then I met this lovely woman, Federica. We all actually met at the, well, met you before buying fashion from you. But we met at the Berlin Ladies Tournament and we were talking about our love for tennis. And then she was saying that how after 20-something years, how many?
26.
After 26 years, she never played. Now she's playing in a women's league. You know, come and join. And I was kind of like, But she's so persuasive that I did. And then I finally played my first match. I said I was joining the team to only play doubles.
Somehow
I was throwing into playing singles. That went horribly wrong. I went into the locker room, yes, as a grown woman, and I cried because it was so painful.
I called all of us.
I called Zani. I was like, I can't believe I'm playing. Why did I do this to myself? And then I still had to play doubles with this girl. She's on the court playing her singles match. And then I was like, I have to get back. And then it was so funny because Federica was trying to coach me during my singles match and I had such a bad attitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did.
She was like, just smile. And I'm like...
But
listen, this is all part of the therapy, actually.
Yeah,
like I went through it. This is why I say for me it was like going through therapy. Because you need to release all that anger, all that like baggage that you have from childhood, and then discover it as like.
Yeah.
Can I say my age? Should I say my age? I was about to say my age, my baby, I don't.
I didn't want to play singles. I'm like, doubles, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Charlie, do you have, like, can you give me a tip? Because seriously, I, like, during that match, maybe it's for other, like, recreational players too. Charlie can give us an expert tip. When you're just like, because the coach after was like, your mental game just, like, went drops a little bit way too low. What kind of tips do you have to kind of like stay maybe present, or maybe something that you did when you were like really losing?
I think it's very individual. If you are emotional, of course, it's hard to stay in the same state of mind, but just try to win the next point, and you know, whatever happened before, it's gone. You know, it doesn't help you to think about what happens, or just think of what's next, what's next, what's next. If you're too much reflecting on what happened on the point before, the game before, the set before, that's not good. It's hard, it's easy to say, but yeah. I guess the
that's why I was
top players, men, were, you know, the players you consider mentally strong, they're able to do that and not reflect too much, and really look only ahead and try to focus on the next point. And that's all you can do, basically.
There's no point
but
dwelling.
But it's funny, you know, I think everybody remembers as a childhood how it reflects also on the family. You know, you win.
Ooh, the mood. You win.
Everyone the mood. Is happy.
You win, you're in the car. Yeah. You know, if you lose, nobody talks in the car.
Yeah.
If you win, it's everything is fantastic. Oh, it's hard. You know, it's a lonely sport, and it's hard.
I win. I remember Dad would award me going to amusement parks. I got all the candy I wanted.
Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen. Yeah, Wendy's, Frosties, whatever I wanted. It was like, it was everything. Yeah. When I lost, it was a long, long car ride home. And it wasn't silent. Let's just say that. It was tears for me looking out the window. I'll never forget my big old red jug, water jug I had. I would just be downing that just to kind of like hide the tears. Dad was just grilling me. Why did I lose that match? How could I lose to that player, the pusher, blah, blah, blah. And that was hard. I mean, that's tough, you know.
But I think this is also why we appreciate so much professional tennis players. Because,
we relate.
Because in order to be there, you really have to be a champion. Many times I thought, you know, what if I wouldn't have stopped at 12? And then I realized, oh, this is stupid. The reason, like, I stopped because I was never fit to become a champion, because a champion wouldn't stop. And it's not, no matter the pressure, no matter what happens, no matter the injury, a champion does not stop.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, that's right. But coming back to, you know, when you started, why we're doing this, you know, it's so nice. You have so much passion for the sport and to share it. I think that's the fun about what we do, and
I think that's why, I mean, even for myself, you know, tennis gave me this, a lot of leadership qualities, and, you know, being able to shape that into a career for me has been great. Like having now have this tennis program for kids, and bringing tennis to kids and families in different communities in New York and New Jersey.
Yeah, shout out
to Super Duper Tennis. Everybody follow www.superdupertennis.
Super Duper Tennis. I think that's also a way that
that's try to find my love for it again, you know, and seeing the kids play, you know, just picking up a racket, learning how to play this wonderful sport and having fun with it. I think that's something I didn't have back in the day when I started, which just I did. And then I lost that, you know, became really intense. But I love seeing the kids laugh and enjoy the games that we throw out there for them and just have fun, run around, get movement. And it's nice to see. But
yeah, I think tennis is a great sport when you take remove the competitiveness of everything, because I think it's always defined by a win. You mean like no one ever wants to lose, but it's more difficult because, you know, we're now dealing with our inner child from the past, and like we're trying to cope with it and find like the happiness of it all. And like I think what is so beautiful is that it brought us together back in June. We all met in the Berlin Open, and we have to thank you for forming this group for us to actually have this, like, you know, platform now and discuss our love for just tennis and fashions and just a group as a whole. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Don't be crying, girl.
Can't say it. Like, this is going to be a trauma episode and I'm the one here. Let's cry the most. It wasn't even my tennis trauma. Okay, I want to ask each of you, how has tennis shaped you? What has tennis taught you? Charlie, let's start with you.
First of all, it teaches you, well, at the very beginning, confidence.
Yeah.
I think when I wasn't a good student in school, but I became good in tennis. And for some reason, I was away from the school, but getting better in tennis gave me confidence in school, and I got better in school too. So I think that's what I realized very quick. You get a lot of respect also from your friends for what you're doing. That's the first thing. Then, of course, it's teaching you losing and dealing with a lot of setbacks and you know, losing, standing up again, you know, being, what's the English word for it? Have endurance and stay with one thing. But it's it has a lot to do with losing. It's not winning. Is you win, yes, and you have a good career, yes. But it's a lot of dealing and learning from losing matches and disappointment, and you know, trying to do it better. And I think endurance, it teaches you a lot of self-discipline and dealing with ups and downs a lot.
For definitely me, does. It was, it is actually how to handle stressful situation and bring it into daily life. Because on a court, you feel the stress of a score, of a point, or something that is not working, and then you feel, oh my God, my backhand is really not working today. And with that, how do I cope with my mind sort of like pushing me down? That happens in life. Whatever you do, like you always have your mind like playing tricks, and tennis really helped me a lot.
Yeah.
I think problem solving.
I was going to say that.
That's
on tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
It's on tip of my tongue. Yeah.
Discipline, for sure. Resilience. How to bounce back with setbacks. Dad always said you got to bounce back like a tennis ball.
Yeah.
<True. laughs>
Earl's pearls of wisdom.
Got to bounce back.
Got to meet this Earl, man. Ball. He's an icon.
So, yeah, those four.
Yeah, I think I agree as well too. Problem solving and like finding just like solutions, like always finding a solution in life. It also taught me how to be independent too. Like, I also was an exchange student. I studied here in Hanover. And I think it taught me how to like problem solve. Like, oh, you can't speak the language right? Someone has to speak English. You can find certain words here or problem solve here. How I get to the Hoppenhofer sentence though. You mean like, I really love the game itself, and like I don't know, I think that's a big goal, and I love the fashions too. Fashions, so yeah.
I think tennis taught me that I need a therapist.
Girl.
That's what I learned from tennis, that I need a therapist.
Love it.
I didn't realize we go this deep today.
No, I mean,
oh my God.
I have two sweaters on. I'm like extra cozy. Loving myself.
I mean, what you can see is definitely if you play with somebody tennis, how his character is.
Yes.
I mean, immediately. If I want to know how somebody is, I play either golf with him or play tennis with him. And then you know really how he is. You cannot hide it. You know, you cannot hide your emotions and your character on the tennis court or on a golf course the same. So it's a good tool to know to play somebody tennis. You know who you're dealing with.
It's revealing.
And Charlie's very perceptive. He could really figure out somebody. I mean, we weren't playing tennis. We were playing paddle tennis.
Traitors!
I know. But I will say, listen, Shame. Paddle tennis, that's probably the only thing I can play like on a competitive level right now. I mean, it's a lot more, I have more fun with the sport. Competitively, if I play tennis, I would probably be like you, that match you played where you just bawling and crying after losing. You know, I couldn't play tennis on that level anymore. But I was playing against Charlie one paddle match. And I was playing with, I played double. So I played with another partner. I was playing against Charlie. He was playing with someone else. And I was winning my serve. And I was like hot. I was playing so good. We switched sides. We changed over. And Charlie said to me, interesting, Zani, you haven't lost your serve this whole set.
Oh, my God.
Charlie's the mind game. You're the Djokovic. Like,
Djokovic. And I went to serve and I was like, I haven't lost my serve. I haven't lost my serve. What did I do?
Lose
I lost my serve. He's so good at, he can figure people out. He knew how to work with my, with me on that. And yeah, he killed me mentally.
Interesting. I want to play now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm ready for Mallorca now.
I know.
Then make Amico better. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I think to maybe wrap this up, I would love to know, when you were growing up, who were your tennis idols?
Well, Michael Chang was mine because I was the only Asian player on the tour. I mean, you played against him too, I think. Yeah, that's how my dad recognized you. I'm like, yeah, this person. And I'm like, oh yeah, I know him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my dad watched all of Michael Chang's matches.
He was fast, boy.
Yeah, I mean, he was small too, like me.
He was good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then also I loved Annie Gilthabong because she's Laotian English.
Oh,
and
I she's don't know her.
She's an English player who is also from parents are from immigrants from Laos.
Okay.
To see actual Laotian person play was amazing for me. But she was like 2000s, like yeah.
Don't
but she was the UK's number one woman's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And her brother's a famous umpire too.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zena Garrison, of course. Gabriella Sabatini, who I got to meet at a grocery store. Oh, sorry.
Yes, wait. Side note, please tell the Gabriella Sabatini story because we are obsessed still to this day.
Would she have her perfume too?
I used to, of course.
So she was mine.
Why didn't our parents buy us the perfume? We should have looked for the perfume. Did it make it to the U.S.?
I don't remember it.
Everything's always in the U.S.
Yeah?
The CVS pharmacies. Okay,
so when we were deciding, if we had two names for the show. We were like, is it going to be Tennis Unscripted? Or the Tennis Pulse. And we would ask, when we met a professional tennis player, we would ask them which name to choose. Mm-hmm. And please tell the Sabatini story.
So I was at a very, very small organic supermarket in Mallorca. And just doing my normal shopping. And then I see this woman pass by. Gorgeous, by the way. She's beautiful.
Still beautiful.
Still beautiful in person. Tall and just like breathtaking. So she passes by me and I just look up, did a kind of double take. I was like, that's Gabriella Sabatini, like kind of this in the cheese section, you know, I'm like, Gabriella Sabatini.
So random.
Super random. And then I said, hi, are you Gabriella Sabatini? She goes, yeah. How do you, she was actually really surprised that I knew her. And she was like, how do you know
me? Like, this black little girl know me?
How does black girl know me? And I just like went off on a rant. I was obsessed with you. I'm a big fan. Blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, what are you doing in Mallorca? And she's like, oh, I'm here for a cycling tour. And I'm like, oh, great. Blah, blah, blah. Chat. Anyway, so moving on. I go to the meat aisle. She goes to check out. And then I message Lindy and I'm like, oh my God, Gabriella Sabatini at Veritas where I was in Mallorca. And she was like, oh my God, Zani, you have to go talk to her. You have to ask her which name we should choose for our tennis show. And I'm thinking, absolutely not.
Right?
Like, I am not going up to her. I already embarrassed myself with like trying to talk to her about like random things.
She
like,
loves
me. No, but I think Federica joined the chat then too. And Federica was like,
you better do it.
Go talk
you
to
better, you better get up
like,
to
her. And then I'm thinking, I'm making up a lie. So I said to them on a text message, oh, she's gone. She left already. She's gone. Too bad.
She's still next to me.
Meanwhile,
she's
still at the checkout. And I'm like, Jesus, Sonny. So I'm like, okay, get some courage. All right, Sonny, let's do this. So I'm like standing like by, trying to buy kombucha now. I don't know. And she's at the checkout and I'm like watching her. And so I somehow go in front of the guy in front of me. He's like, you can go ahead because you have little things. So I'm like, yeah, sure. So I go ahead.
Yeah.
And then I could see her like about to leave. And I was like, Sabatini, hi. Do you need help with that? Like her bags? I was like, and she's like, no, I'm good. And like, I was like,
oh my God, weirdo. Okay,
yeah. This is awkward. And then she was leaving and I was like, I like jumped in front. I was like, Sabatini, sorry, this is so strange. Random thing. We're doing a tennis show. I would love to know your ideas of which name we should have for our tennis show. Can you just go on video for me? She's like, yeah, sure. Oh, okay.
That's right.
And I got her on video and I was somehow did it in one take. Thank God I wasn't stuttering or anything like that. And so I was like, hey, I'm in Mallorca with Gabriella Sabatini in front of the grocery store. Which name, Tennis Unscripted or the Tennis Pulse? And she chose the Tennis Unscripted.
Sorry, Gabby.
Still love you.
No. Who was your idol besides Sabatini?
And her perfect.
Yes, exactly.
Of course.
She's so hot.
Oh, come on. She was the best.
And that beautiful, her strokes were so beautiful. That backhand. I mean, yeah.
I came home. I told Charlie. I was like, I don't know. I might leave you for Gabbia the 17th.
I didn't realize those feelings back then, but it was definitely a lesbian crush going on. I was like, this woman is gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
It's your idol. You know, your idol. That's why. You mean, you love that.
I mean, for on the men's side too, for me, it was McEnroe. Obviously, I said I broke so many rackets, so McEnroe was definitely my idol.
That attitude.
What about you, Charlie?
Mine was Guillermo Vilas.
Oh, yeah.
In left-hand Argentinian. Mm-hmm. He was, they don't know if he was number two or one, number one in the world. There was a huge discussion because he won most tournaments. But he was my idol. Of course, at that time, McEnroe and Borg as well. But Guillermo Vilas, because it suited my game. He was left-hander. So I really loved this game.
Amazing.
Great player.
Okay. Whew. I'm not going to cry anymore, I promise. I'm done. I just want to say that I'm really excited that we're doing this together. I know it's hard because we live in different countries to get together and talk about tennis. We did try to do like a Zoom type of Riverside, you know?
Tragic.
And it was tragic because we need to all be in the same room and bounce off of this energy of each other. So I just am really excited about what we've created. I think we just keep on going with like our passion for the sport that we love so, so much. Yeah, and we thank you all for coming on this journey with us, really.
And subscribing and watching.
And liking and sharing, posting.
Let's take a moment to thank you all, really.
For subscribing.
For subscribing all together now. Subscribe.
Like, share, repost.
Like, share.
Repost.
Repost. Yes.
Yes. Pulse.
Thank you so much. This is the Tennis Pulse. We're here at the Friend Space in Berlin. Thank you for joining us, and we see you on the next episode.